A few years ago, I visited some of our Cherrydale members from the past, Dave and Jennifer Erickson in Fort Myers, Florida. And Dave is the executive director of a great organization called ECHO. And they're noted for helping the poorest of the poor farmers all over the world grow crops in extremely hard places to grow crops. They're noted for their seed bank. They have 335 different varieties of unique seeds that produce great crops and nutrients. They grow in deserts. They grow in places that are too wet to grow on rocky soil. Dave and Jennifer told me many, many stories about the power of those seeds. One was a pastor from West Africa who came and got some seed packs, and he went back to his area that was very much full of poverty and no crops, and he used those seeds to produce a bumper crop, fed the entire community, trained 13 other pastors. Crops came in, and the gospel spread through that. Now, what I was fascinated about on my visit was they took me on the tour of the 57-acre farm there in Fort Myers, and I was captured by the moringa tree. And the moringa tree is also known as the miracle tree. And this unique tree, its seeds are extremely powerful along with its leaves. For example, the seeds and the leaves of the moringa tree have 25 times more iron in it than spinach, more protein than many eggs, more vitamin C than oranges, more vitamin A than carrots, greater calcium than milk, more potassium than bananas, proteins greater than yogurt. It heals your skin. It gets rid of cancer. It gives you mental clarity. It can act as an antidepressant and improves your immune system, your blood pressure, reduces inflammation, gives you energy, fights off diseases, produces an oil that's amazing. And on top of all of that, you can take one seed and drop it in a liter of polluted water, and it will purify it to the point that you can drink clean water. Now, I came away from that fascinated with seeds. And today I want to tell you about a seed that produces hope, it gives life, and it's sustaining. And it's a seed that Jesus Christ wants to plant inside of us. And this seed is unlike any other seed. It's more powerful. It's more long-lasting. It's life-giving. It points you to eternal life. It's available 24/7. It doesn't cost you anything. And we're going to be scattering that seed this morning. And Jesus is going to tell us a parable about that seed in Matthew chapter 13. We've just begun a series on parables. It's our third week, the parables of Jesus. And I want to remind you that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And parables function like windows. You can look through it, and it'll tell you what God is like. They're like mirrors. It'll tell you what you are like. And a parable literally means lay down beside. He lays a story down beside you. You're to compare it to your life and have an aha moment about God and about yourself. And this is the famous parable of the sower and the seed. We need to step back into the first century Palestine where Jesus told this parable and remember that they would all understand this immediately because they mostly were farmers. And they would know exactly what he meant when a farmer had the bag of seed and he went and he sowed his seed. Now, what was different, we plow up the ground and plant the seed. They threw the seed and then came and plowed up the ground. And Jesus said, here's what happens when you sow this seed as a farmer. Some of it falls on the hard path right next to the field. And then the birds come and eat up the seed. And some of it falls on the stony ground that has shallow soil and it springs up, but when the heat comes, it fades away. And some is thrown among the thorns, and because of the competition, The thorns and weeds choke out the seed. And some of it falls on good ground. And then Jesus said it bears abundant fruit. Now Jesus interprets the parable for us, and he lets us know what the seed is. It's the Word of God. And we need to put it in the context of Matthew and the other Gospels where this is told. It's not only the Word of God, but it's the central message of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said he is the message of the Bible. He said it's his ultimate theme. And so when he talks about the seed, it's the seed of the gospel, the Word of God that points to Jesus Christ. He tells us what the soil is. It's human hearts. And our heart is revealed by response to the seed. But here's what he emphasizes. You see it in verse 9. And he uses this word 9 times in 23 verses. Hearing. If you have ears to hear, you better hear. Now here's what Jesus is telling us about his kingdom. In other kingdoms, they come in by force and might. Or if it's a democracy, by the majority rule. And it begins to shape your life. Jesus' kingdom comes in like a seed. And it gets planted in you. And it's an inside-out change. And the kingdom expands by how people hear the Word of God. One of the marks of a true Christian is that you're a good listener. Are you a good listener? Or even interacting with people, are you thinking about what you have to say, or do you really listen? When you come to church, have you developed the skill of listening to the Word of God? In song, in sermon, scripture? Are you in the daily habit of hearing God's Word? Now, Jesus is going to tell us the soils that represent the heart. There are some tests that he's given us by telling us this parable to answer the question, how am I responding to God's Word? How well do I hear it? So, first of all, in verses 18 and 19, he begins to interpret it, but he has one major theme. Run straight through this. Our response to the seed of the gospel always reveals our heart. Say that with me. Our response to the seed of the gospel always reveals our heart. It reveals something about us. In verses 18 and 19, he said, some seed fell on the hard ground and the birds came and ate it. And Jesus interpreted that. That's a hard heart. And the seed of God's Word bounces off and Satan comes and eats and takes away that seed. If you have a hardened heart, that means that the gospel never penetrated you. You may be exposed to it, you may know all the facts, the stories, but it's never penetrated. It's just an intellectual exercise. It hasn't changed your will, it hasn't shaped your life. And it's a commentary on you. If you went to the National Gallery of Art and you saw all of the great masterpieces, and you walked out and said, what a bunch of junk, you've just passed judgment on yourself, not the art. And when the Word of God bounces off your heart, you've passed judgment on yourself. It reveals a hardened heart. And it's not just our heart, there's an enemy, Satan. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 has always been a shiver in my spine verse. It says, Satan, the god of this world, deceives those who do not believe so they can't see it. But he works through a hardened heart in somebody who won't let the Word of God penetrate. It's just an intellectual exercise. In verses 20 to 21, he says, the rocky soil. The seed is sown and it's shallow, springs up quick, and when the heat comes, it fades away. And he stresses responding to the Word of God emotionally. In verses 20 and 21, he uses the word immediately twice. Here's what this one looks like. I hear it, and immediately, hallelujah, this is my answer. And then it costs you to follow Christ. And immediately, I want nothing to do with it. Now, this reveals the heart. The word penetrated, but only so deep. Because what you're really doing in this stage, it's an emotional response, but not a will response. It doesn't change the treasure of your heart. And when you're like this, what it reveals is that the real treasure is something else, and you only wanted God to get in on your kingdom agenda and to bless you. And when He doesn't come through, I'm out of here. And if it costs me too much, I don't want it. And that's revealing a lack of depth, a lack of letting the Word penetrate. The third one in verse 22 is a divided heart. The seed falls among the seeds, among the weeds and the thorns, and as they grow, it's choked out, and it bears no fruit. And here's a half-hearted response. Now notice, the seed does go in. They linger around the Word. They're exposed to it. But they're competing loyalties. There are other treasures in the heart. And so the seed of God's Word never bears fruit. You might be one of those Christians, I know the Word of God, it's come into my heart, but if you look at my life, Jesus is the caboose on the train of my success. Sometimes I see Him working me, but not often. He's not changing me. And Jesus says this is a warning. Now, did you notice something? We have three enemies as Christians. The world, the flesh, and the devil. All three are right here. The devil comes to the hard heart, snatches it away. And the flesh caves in. I don't want to pay a price for this. And the world system takes over. And then Jesus talks about the good soil. And He described it this way. It falls into the ground. It goes down deep. And then it bears abundant fruit. Now, it would have shocked them because a bumper crop among them was tenfold. And Jesus said, 30, 60, and 100. The production and multiplication of fruit is astounding when it takes root in your heart. And He describes them as they heard it. They really heard it. They understood it. They said, this applies to me. It shapes my worldview. It changes me. I have a new treasure. It's Jesus. I hunger for His Word every day. And flowing out of you, you begin to multiply and share the seed yourself. And you look back at your life and you've influenced so many people. And you've joined God in His work. Now there's the parable. And His disciples heard this and asked Jesus a question. Why do you talk in parables? Why? And Jesus' response really helps us understand. And now you really need to hear. Because this will put the fear of God in you if you understand what He's saying. There are two groups represented. The disciples who heard the Word of God. And they were soil where the fruit was beginning to come. There was another group, the crowds, who only wanted Jesus' gifts, but they didn't want Him. He was the caboose on their train to success. They were these three responses to the gospel. And notice what Jesus said. Look at what He says, beginning in verse 11. To you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it's not been granted. And here's the fear of God part. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. He'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, is taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor did they understand. And then He talks about fulfilling Isaiah chapter 6. Now, what does it mean? He who has gets more, and he who has nothing loses what he's got. We'll go back to the parable of the soils, and you'll see it. If you have seed go down inside of you and you respond, you end up with more. A bumper crop comes out of that. You have it, you receive it, you get more. But if you don't have it because your heart is hard, Satan snatches it away. Or it's only an emotional response. You don't want the heat. You lose it. Or if it's choked out by other desires, it bears no fruit. You lose it. And Jesus then says, I'm going to tell you why I speak in parables. And then he quotes Isaiah chapter 6. Let's put this in context. Isaiah, the great prophet, was speaking to Israel. And God had sent many prophets to them, and they were full of idolatry. They were hardened in their hearts. It was not shaping their lives. And God kept warning them, if you do not repent, you're going to be taken into captivity. And they're just about to be taken, and their hearts were hardened. And Jesus is greater than Isaiah. And the light of Christ has shown up. And they are rejecting this Messiah. They're not responding to Him. And so Jesus shows grace. Here's the principle. He can read the heart. He knows if it's hardened and shallow and superficial. And so He speaks in parables. Now, parables do two things at the same time. They hide truth from the hardened and reveal truth to the superficial. That's grace. If you have a hardened heart, the more truth you reject, the greater your judgment will be. So He tells a parable. So you don't get it, because you're going to be judged anyway. But if you're receptive and you hear it, and I understand the parable, and my motive is, God, put it into my heart and change me, then you'll get it. This is why He's speaking in parables. Parables hide and reveal at the same time. It's like the sun shining on wax and clay. It melts wax, it hardens clay. Exposure to the Word of God can harden you or it can melt you. And so here we are again. Our response to the seed of the gospel always, always reveals the state of our heart. Now, parables are great tools because they fly under the radar, suck you in, give you an aha moment, and at that moment, you decide, do I let it penetrate and change me, or do I push back? That's the whole issue. David did this. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, murdered a husband, Uriah, and the prophet Nathan came to him, told him a parable to confront him. There was this great king who had all kinds of flocks, and there was this poor man who had one little lamb that he nurtured and loved, and the king had guests, and so he stole the lamb of that poor man and fed his guest. Now, David was enraged. You show me that man, I'll take his head off. And Nathan says, it's you. There's the point. At that moment, David could have hardened his heart, killed the prophet, don't want to change, but it broke him. The Word of God penetrated, and it brought David to repentance. That's why Jesus speaks in parables. So if you walk away and it just bounced off, warning, warning, your heart is hardened, you haven't heard it. But if it penetrates, and it brings you to repentance, shape me, Lord. God is at work. Now that leads to the last thing. How does that seed of the gospel change a heart? Now the human heart can't be changed. It has to have a supernatural intervention. And only the seed of the Word of God can break through the slab of stone in a hardened heart. It's the only power on earth that can do it. That's why I'm never, ever, ever ashamed to preach this book and to preach the gospel. When you do it, you're throwing seed out, and it will reveal human hearts. And it's happening right here today. It does it every single week. There will be implications in your life every single day by how you responded to the seed of the Word of God. And you never remain neutral. You're either letting it change you and you'll bear fruit, or you're getting hardened, one or the other. How does that happen? Verses 18 to 23, Jesus gives the interpretation. And our big takeaway is this. There's power in that seed of the gospel. It unleashes power inside of you. Because this book is inspired of God. It's not like any other book. I can know literature and poetry and songs, but you start preaching the truth of this book and you've unleashed the power of God, it'll transform people's lives. His power is amazing. A little seed, if I threw seeds at you and said, "Look out!" You don't think there's any danger in that. What if I threw an axe at you or a fire? You'd run from that, but not a seed. But the seed of the Word of God is extremely powerful. The Bible starts that way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water, and then God spoke. He spoke everything into existence. His Word is life-giving and powerful. It's infinite. 2 Peter 1:3 has always grabbed my heart. 2 Peter says this, "By His precious and magnificent promises, we've become partakers of the divine nature." Do you see what that's saying? When you believe the gospel and let the seed come into your heart, you partake of a divine nature. God's Spirit comes to live within you, and the power of God is in your life, and you carry that around, and He wants to bear fruit through your life. It's powerful. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, that we've listened to the gospel of your salvation. You heard it, and you believed it, and then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, a permanent seal. You can never lose the Holy Spirit. You can't lose your salvation. You're secure, but here's what you can do. You can drift away from it. You can get a hardened heart. You can drift away from it and become very shallow and try to use God to fit your agenda instead of bending to His. You can drift away and get it choked out, and you're an unfruitful person. Last week, I was deeply struck. Couldn't get it out of my mind all week long when I heard the testimony of Jill and Greg Sizelove. And they talked about what Jesus said, that if you want to follow me, you've got to die and then take up your cross and follow me. And letting the seed go into your heart means that you say no to some idols. Jill Sizelove said this, "I had to put to death my idols of comfort and control and die to myself and take a step of obedience, and we've adopted that son and changed the destiny of a child." That's seed going deep. And folks, we never ever arrive thinking, "Well, I've got this." Look, I've been a pastor 42 years. My greatest danger is to think, 42 years, I got this thing. First step to a hardened heart. Look at Peter. He was an apostle. And if you study Peter's life, you know what the idol of his heart was? People pleasing. He was a people pleaser. That's why he denied Jesus. And then he preaches the gospel, 3,000 believe, he's missionary leader in the church, and he goes to Antioch. And there he's hanging out with the Gentiles and eating pork and having fellowship with one in Christ. And some Jews come up and he backs off. And he's a hypocrite. And he acts as if Gentiles aren't really in to people please. Now Paul shows up and he rebukes him. But here's how he rebuked him. He did not say, "You bigoted, racist, people-pleasing wimp." He never said that. What he did say is, "You're denying the gospel. You're not in alignment with it. It's not penetrating deep. Wake up. And he did wake up. We always need it, and we need it in community. We have lots of missionaries all over the world. Praise God. The seed is going all over the world today. Aren't you thrilled to be a part of that? The Samuelson family has run an orphanage in Asia for many years, and Ben is one of their sons I know well, and the story I'm telling you is public knowledge. When the family went, Ben in his teenage years didn't want to go. He hated it. And then he came back on furlough with his family, and I said, well, how you doing? And he said, I love it. And I said, what happened to you? And he said, I'm glad to tell you, Pastor King. When my family was going there, I realized the reason I didn't want to go is I had built my entire identity on being an American and the comfort I enjoy. And over there, I don't know the language or the people, and I felt my identity was completely ripped away from me, and I'm a nobody. And all I had left was Jesus. And I discovered I have an identity that can never be lost. And the Holy Spirit is in me, and I have the privilege of sharing the gospel with people who never heard it. And he said, Pastor King, I'd go anywhere in the world now. Do you see? The seed penetrated. It penetrated. Many of you have gone through great loss and major disappointment. You were trusting God for things and it blew up in your face. You might be in that state right now. I want to tell you what to do when that happens to you. Press in. Press into God's Word. Claim His promises. Cling to Him. Let it go deep. Don't back away. Don't get a hardened heart. Follow the Word of God and let it do its power in your life. This is why, folks, it's so important. We'll never get off of this. It's a broken record. If you're coming to Cherrydale, make a commitment to join the church. Be baptized. Get connected to the family. Here's why. Christianity doesn't work just Jesus and me. It doesn't. When you get Jesus, you get His family. And when you get His family, you get the Word of God flowing in you relationally. You have people who can build you up and speak words of truth. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in the body of Christ. And when you habitually feed that, here's what happens to you. A church family will affirm you. I see the Word growing in you. They'll see what you don't see. And a church family will help preserve that seed and feed it and help it grow in you. So the next Cherrydale Explored half day is July the 13th. If you've been coming, make a commitment, go to the next step, make this your church home, and join us in planting the seed of the Word of God in your heart so we can grow. Let me remind you of some powerful promises about God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Now, there's no other seed in existence that can cause you to be born again but the seed of the Word of God, the Gospel. And it never fades away. James 1:18, another powerful verse. You have been brought from death to life, brought forth by the word of truth, and you're like a first fruit. You're part of the harvest. In James 1:21, what comes before it's implanted? Repentance. Turn away. Lord Jesus, plant your seed. Be my Lord. Every single day, for the last 6 years, my heart lights up because I get an email from Bill Hoffman. And all it says, it lists verses from the Old Testament to the New that he's prayed over, and he sends this to hundreds of people. I first met Bill Hoffman in 1975 in a warehouse, Shell Oil Company, Portland, Oregon. I was a newlywed going to seminary. I had one prayer for that warehouse. One prayer I prayed every day. Lord, let me lead one man to Christ who will take this warehouse for you after I'm gone. That's all I'm asking. Now, 6 months went by, nothing happened. Nothing. And during those 6 months, I kept hearing about Bill Hoffman, the company drunk. His life was a disaster. They threw him on his front lawn every weekend, and he was a miserable man. Bill approached me one day in the warehouse and said, "I hear you go to seminary." "I do. I got a question for you." "Okay. How do you know the difference between right and wrong?" Now, I've been praying every day. I always carried in my pocket a copy of the Four Spiritual Laws and a little Holy Spirit booklet. So I said, "Bill, read these, and I'll come by your house this week." "You'd come to my house?" "I'd love to come to your house, but read those." 3 days later, I'm going to go to his house. This is before GPS. I got lost and arrived an hour late. I come to their front door. Bill and his wife greet me. They're standing side by side. Bill says, "We read these. We've prayed the prayer 3 times. Now what do we do?" And I'm telling you, he got saved. And I mean saved. And so did his wife. And then I discipled him. I baptized him. Baptized his wife. Married his daughters. He became the head of the elders in the church I pastored. And he started a Bible study in that plant that has been going for 45 years nonstop. Tell me the Word of God is not powerful. I've watched it. Mitchell Downing, in the next service, they're always right here. His parents were newlyweds, and I took an intern with me, and I still remember visiting them. They just visited once, and they were in their basement apartment, newlyweds, all in love with each other. And Ronnie ended up coming to Christ through the intern's influence. And I want to tell you, the Word of God was planted in that couple. And I've watched them through the years plant the Word in their children. And Mitchell, he used to sit on the front row, and I've got a file this thick on Mitchell. Every sermon he would turn into a piece of art and hand it to me. And I've got to deal with Mitchell. When you get married, I'm giving that folder to your bride. Mitchell is now the leader of Camp Kids Place. And he's gone to college, he's been discipled, and Herb mentored him for the last 8 years. And he's been working since the early part of the year, building his team, the next generation. And they're so excited we get to plant the Word of God into children. 8 weeks, parents are paying us to teach their children about Jesus. Now, Awana is a great way to train children in the gospel. And we're starting Awana under the leadership of Kelly Dudley, our great children's director, in the fall. We want it to go to the 5th grade. To pull that off, we'll take 24 volunteers. We already have 8, just announced it last week. Volunteer, be a part of this. We got one question. How are you responding to the seed of God's Word? How are you responding? Do you know what will motivate you to repent and let it go down deep? To realize this, when Jesus approaches you, He doesn't come right now with a sword to kill you, or fire to burn you, or a hammer to smash you. He comes as a seed. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, the seed has to go into the ground and die. Otherwise, it'll bear no fruit. And Jesus, the ultimate seed, died in your place, rose again, so He could come and plant the seed inside of you, and you get the joy of being on His team. Go talk to Kelly. Sign up. I hope we have far more than 24 volunteers. And I pray that we would be a people that put the seed in our hearts. Now, I told you at the beginning about Dave and Jennifer Erickson and the moringa tree. And I saved to close it with this. There's a pastor from West Africa who 100 kids in his orphanage in a very poor area who came to visit their farm. And they told him all about the moringa tree, and he started sobbing. He just broke. And they said, "Why?" And he said, "My village has children that are dying of malnutrition and polluted water, and we're surrounded by moringa trees, and I never knew it." I never knew it. I hope your heart breaks over people who haven't had the joy of the seed planted in them. Do not hoard it. Share it. And today I'm telling you, join me in repenting. Here's the insight that helped me the most. The soil doesn't get rid of the weeds or the rocks. The one sowing the seed does that. Jesus gets rid of those weeds and rocks. You just have to repent and say, plant it in me. So let's pray together and do some business with Him. If you've never received Christ and invited Him to be your Savior and plant the seed in you, do it now. Ask Him to do it. And if your heart has grown hard and you're choking out the Word, today repent. Come back to Jesus and invite Him to clean you up and sit on the throne of your life. Make a commitment to His people to grow in biblical community. Lord, plant your seed deep within us today. Bear fruit through us for your name's sake. Amen.